Well, there's a lot of people that come out of a Christian background. So this year I did social surveys. I was hoping to hit 500, but I only managed to hit, I think, 315 for when I was initially kind of at the end of the week counting things up. I thought maybe it'd be close to 400, around 400, but they're not. 350 yeah. surveys. Still not bad.
Nope.
You know? And one of those, the indicators on the survey is your past religion and your present religion. And a lot of them are past Christian.
Wow.
Now
how sad
agnostic,
is that, man?
Now atheist, now Buddhist, now Taoist. You know, the list goes on and on.
Fearless Conversations. The Servants and Doves Podcast with Pablo Frassini.
And my brother, Carl, we are going to talk about mud. We're going to talk about effigies. We're going to talk about backed up toilets and who knows what else is going to come up. We're talking about the Burning Man today. You like that intro? What do you think about
awesome.
That one?
Dust and mud.
Love it. Dust and mud, man. This is great. So listen, some of you guys might get a little squeamish. Some of you guys might get uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, this topic is a necessary topic because it is very, very prevalent. The attitude, at least, what's behind Burning Man, as each one of these people, they come to Burning Man, but then they go out into society. They go out into the workplace. They go out into the schools, the universities, the coffee houses, whatever you may have it. So it's important for us to know these things. And Carl, my brother, I am so stoked to have you on. Tell you what, I'm going to turn the floor over to you for a minute, and then we'll get into the housekeeping.
Well, hey, Pablo, I am just excited to be a part of this conversation. And this is a topic that for whatever bizarre reason has placed me front and center in the conversation about what is Burning Man from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
And I never anticipated that, to be honest. It was a part of my research to try to understand how the culture was changing and shifting. And all of a sudden, we're there and we're trying to do a Christian outreach at the same time as doing the research, and boy, it just kind of went somewhere. And for some bizarre reason, now we're having these conversations about Burning Man. So I'm excited to see where this is going to go. I might as well just quickly get the commercial out of the way. If you're interested in learning about this and reading more on the topic, I have a chapter dedicated in my book to the burn culture and to transformational evolutionary culture, what this looks like, its backdrop, its cultural backdrop, its spiritual backdrop, and along the way with questions on how to potentially engage in the culture. So
yeah,
there you
so
go.
So is this where they could find it in your book, Game of Gods, correct?
Yes, that's right. GameofGods.ca, because that's a Canadian yep. webpage. I'm from Canada. Yeah.
No, it's all good. And it will be in the link below. So anybody that might want to get their hands on the book, the link to get here is down below. And then the link to purchase the book is pretty self-explanatory. But for those that are hard of seeing, let me go ahead and see if I can zoom in right there. That big button, right? White and green that says buy on Amazon. If you click on that, that will take you over to Amazon. And I highly encourage you guys get this book. It is, okay, Carl, this is great. I'm glad you brought this up because this book is not your typical book where you have to go in order, right?
That's right. I wrote it specifically so that you could jump from chapter to chapter. Even within the chapter, there are sections where you're able to move around and just explore a topic. And I specifically designed it that way. Some people didn't like that, but whatever, I don't care.
Yeah. Hey, you're the one writing the book. I mean, seriously. We just got done talking about, everybody has an opinion about everything, right?
Oh, man, isn't that the truth?
Yes, it is.
And one thing about the book, dealing with the topic of Burning Man, is I don't know if there's any other Christian, I could be wrong, I don't know if there's any Christian book that incorporates a significant section on Burning Man, if at all, and deals with it with personal observations and the documentation that I'm able to bring to the table. And I, honestly, Pablo, I'm so thankful for that. And even the subtitle of the book is The Temple of Man in the Age of Reenchantment. And that title came to me because when I went to Burning Man in 2017, that was the year that the man, the effigy, was placed in his own temple. He was placed in his own pagoda. And even before I went, I when I heard that that was going to be the case, and that became almost a controversy within the burn community, is this the right thing to do with the man? At that point, I went, oh, golly, it's a temple of man.
Yeah,
and this is the age of reenchantment. This is this mystical pagan experience. It really fit.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's folks. Listen, you guys got to get the book if you can. And you know what? The great thing is, if you want to kind of get a little taste of what the book is about, Carl was kind enough. If you click right down here. Read book excerpts. So you can kind of get an idea of what the book is about, what you're going to encounter as you read the book. But listen, you won't be disappointed. Trust me when I tell you, you will not be disappointed. This is a great book. God has gifted you. I said this offhand, and God's gifted you with a beautiful intellect, a great mind, because I've got a lot of questions. And as I said kind of before we came on, I said, listen, I don't know a whole lot about Burning Man, but I know somebody that does, and that would be you. And so I hope that through the questions and my curiosity and the things that are kind of going up in here, and oftentimes there's not a whole lot, but hopefully,
likewise.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know what? Okay, this is weirdy part one, right? If I had an opportunity to get into Carl's mind, it would be crowded with so much information. I'd be like, oh, coming through. If you came into mine, do you ever see those cartoons, like the Warner Brothers cartoons when they did an x-ray of the head and there was like a little peanut? Okay.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Or it. Okay. It's like a can like that.
We all have days like that, okay?
Really do. I have a lot of those.
and we all have days when it's just way too crowded anyways, right?
Yeah. I agree. So listen, folks, get the book. I can't state it enough. It's a great, great book. Listen, I want to come over here as well, because since we're on your websites, talk to us about forcing change. What can people expect to find when they go to your website called Forcing Change?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a magazine that I ran from 2007 to the end of 2015. And so in a sense, it's a repository of all of the back issues, every single one in PDF. There are also other articles and reports on the page as well. And in a way, it's just a collection of some of my older material, but it still has tremendous relevancy. So it's a free site. Just simply sign up so you have access to the PDFs. Sure. And then download everything, data mine it all, and use it and share it however you see fit.
Absolutely.
Period.
And listen,
period.
You just Yeah, you just said something that some people might disagree. I don't know where most stand on this, but listen, there's going to come a time when all of this information will be taken down from the internet. There will come a time when that happens. Not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So as Carl said, please go on there, sign up, get all of this reference material, download it, so that at some point in time you'll have it, you could share it, you could distribute it, and people could be educated, they could learn on these kind of topics, on these issues. So Carl, thank you so, so very much. I'm only going to spend maybe less than a minute talking about Serpents and Doves, the website over here. Most of you guys know the link is below. If you would like, please sign up for the newsletter. That's going to be going out very, very soon. I am working on it, it will go out. So please sign up. All you got to do is plug your email, hit send. That's it. I will get that. Also, I'm going to be revamping. I got to say something here. I'm going to be revamping the entire website. Some people are wondering, where on earth did Pablo go? Where's Waldo, kind of thing? Maybe I should be wearing stripes. I'm still here. I'm revamping everything. So everything's going to be getting a facelift, including the website. So just be patient with me. New stuff on the shop. The gospel cards are still here. You can go on and you could still get them. But listen, if the Lord is tugging at your heart to come alongside the ministry here and to support it either one time or a monthly donation, if you click on the donate button, which is at the top or the bottom, these are the different ways that you could support the ministry, help it grow, and in essence, help me reach the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Enough of that. Let's get started. Carl, what do you say? I'll play a video. We could talk through it kind of as an intro. You'll be doing most of the talking. If you want me to stop, just say, hey, hang on there. Or you could just talk as we watch this. But this is just about a four-minute video kind of giving people a bird's eye view of what Burning Man is about. You cool with that?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, stop.
Okay. Stop right there. Let's do it. You know what? I got to say, that is pretty amazing.
And I was just going to say, you know, Pablo, there's attention to detail. In fact, when the man is built, the crew that builds it really puts a lot of detail into building the man. In fact, detail that you can't even really see unless you're able to see it close up or zoom in with a good camera. But it is a spectacle. The man as it stands is a spectacle. And this year, the pedestal he's placed on has lots of honeycomb shapes, because this year's, the 2023 theme was Animalia. And so it was this this messaging of the collective or the hive. And that's what the man was surrounded by, were these honeycombs.
Wow. You know what? Now that you said that, can I do a plug? I'm going to do a quick plug, because you just mentioned the honeycomb. And I'm going to say, hey, you know what? God is the most amazing creative artist ever. And when you look at the hive, the hexagon of the hive, it is perfection at its finest. And you're talking about these amazing engineers, right? The bees. Just really quick, because you just said these guys here put attention to detail. Well, who do you think put creativity in man's heart? The one who put creativity in man's heart is none other than the Lord himself. If you guys want to go to an amazing site, I work for this company. By the way, some of you guys might wonder what I actually do. This is the company I do work for. Let me get on over there. It's called the Lustre Media. They put on the Case for Christ documentaries, a lot of amazing films. Their newest release, which is down here, is called Extraordinary Engineers. All you got to do is if you click on it, the documentary is amazing. They go through the perfection of the honeycomb. Each one of those angles is 120 degrees to the, I mean, it is perfection at its finest. How did these bees know to do it and to construct it in such a way? So anyways, that's just my shameless plug. It's an amazing website. If you guys want to go check out some incredible videos, I would highly, highly recommend you do that. So let me go back to the video. I'm sure it's going to start from the very beginning, but that's okay, because you were talking about the perfection, and it is. I mean, that is, I'll tell you, from an artistic perspective, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll roll it. You can talk.
All right. Okay, sorry.
No. You talk whenever you want.
And the other thing, too, as you'll see this within the video, I mean, you're seeing it right now, Pablo, is it is a spectacle. It's lights. It's flash. Everywhere you turn, you're seeing something new. Something that has incredible design behind it. There's a lot of attention to the workmanship that goes into building and constructing what you're seeing.
Yeah,
it's also done by volunteers.
That's crazy.
Thing. And that includes all the art pieces.
This is engineering. This stuff right here. It's not something you do overnight.
No. Oh no. There's people who dedicate their full year, and sometimes a few years working towards a project to bring out to the desert. And so there's an incredible amount of money that gets poured into building and bringing things to the playa.
Yeah, okay. You just said something, and we'll get into this. The playa is part of the Burning Man's lexicon, and they have their own lexicon, right? Tell them what the playa is.
It is Spanish for beach. And so this is being held on a massive dry lake bed and in the Black Rock Desert. And so the Black Rock Desert is found in northwestern Nevada. And it's a massive, really a massive dead zone. There's not much that grows out there. Yeah. It's an alkali-based desert. And so it's, I can't remember how many hundreds of square miles, I think 400 square miles of flat. Yeah, flat alkali. We just call it a beach or a playa. Yeah. And so there's a lot of playas in that part of the country, and this happens to be one of the largest. Oh, that bear that you just saw, that's one made by made with pennies.
Oh wow, that's insane.
I am serious. Totally, totally wild. All of
that's
those
what
are
I mean.
Pennies.
You don't do this overnight.
Right. No. I mean, Pablo, they're pennies on edge.
That is just crazy. So standing up like this, lined up one against the
correct.
Other. Not flat like this. Wow, that is incredible. No. I bet you that thing weighs a pretty penny. Sorry. I just had to throw that cheesy. Sorry, I know. It's just cheesy. Yeah. There you go. All right. Thanks, folks. I'll be here all night. Yeah. Okay. So we should just keep going there. So does it gets pretty cold at night, I would imagine?
Depends on the year. Like this year, okay, in that art piece, if you notice down below, people are sitting on a chair, and as they were rocking on that chair, you see them underneath, they're facing the audience.
Yep.
And so as they're rocking back and forth, that's moving the wings of the butterfly. And then the butterfly's wings are all synchronized to the music. And so you have this incredible light display right above you. You lay on the ground, you look upwards, and you watch the butterfly move in this kaleidoscope of colors. And you're having usually classical musical pieces, Bach or Beethoven, and you're just mesmerized by this spectacle.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Hey, you know what? And here is, I know, folks, we're eventually going to get through this for 3 minutes. Right? People are like, come on, dude, stop pressing pause and let the blasted video play, man. So we'll get through there. I left it here on the Pac-Man ghost just because that's his word. But you know what amazes me is the fact that here you have probably the large majority of the attendees of Burning Man are not believers. Would that be an accurate statement?
More than accurate. I mean, pretty much 100%.
Okay. So, and here you have some of the most amazing art and engineering combined together to do what? It draws and it invokes the senses, man. I mean, these people are doing something that, this is what I'm always saying. Why, as believers, do we put out some of the most lame-o stuff when it comes? I'm serious. I know it's laughable, but serious. Let's be honest about it, folks. Come on.
I know.
Carl,
but
serious.
But Pablo, this actually, you're raising an important question for us as Christians, and that is, what is the purpose and function of art? And this is something we have, unfortunately, ejected out of Christian thinking. It's rare for me to go into a home, a Christian home, or even into a Christian institution and see artwork. And I'm not talking about decoration or crafts.
Yeah.
I'm talking about art. Art where there's been purpose and intention and that it's conveying some kind of a meaning. It may be even, in the case of Burning Man, you have everything from absurdity to a lot of play and whimsy, and then also art with real intention and meaning.
Sure.
And I would love to see the Christian community regain a sense of the importance of art and wrestle through this, because it's part of what makes us human. It's part
absolutely.
Of that creative distinction that we have over and above the rest of the, literally the rest of the created universe.
I totally agree.
And boy, we have taken it for granted, or we have jettisoned it right out the door. Or we sometimes chastise it, and I'm like, why is it? And this is to our shame.
Yeah.
Why is it that the non-Christian world will work towards excellence in their art?
They do. They look. I have one piece that I did. Where's my hand, dude? Hello. Oh, there it is. Right. Wait. Other hand, dude. Seriously. Right there. That's obviously you can't see. I don't know. Maybe if I put me here. No, you still can't see it. But this is a skate deck. This is a collage piece that I did. All of the art, so it's printed in color, then I collage it together. But all the artwork that is on this, even printed, I designed that in, I actually digitally illustrated every single piece, including the patterns. And then look, my passion, I love skate. I love surf. That was just kind of the culture I was immersed in, you know, the punk scene and the heavy metal scene. And that was just something that I, and the artistic scene, right? That's just something that I'm very passionate about. Sure, it's different artwork. You know, I painted three Billy Grahams, one of them sitting over there. I did have one behind here. You would be surprised the emails that I got. And you go, why did you paint such a heretic? Did you know all of the things about Billy Graham? And you're going, dude, you're totally missing the point, man. You're missing the point of the art. And I agree with you 100%. The body of Christ, I think, spends more time being critical about one another instead of going, hey, what is it? Why did you paint that? What was it that maybe, you know, the Lord put on your heart? What is it that the message you're trying to convey with that piece of art? You know what I'm saying?
I get it. And to that point, I've been asked a lot of times, what have been some of your personal takeaways from Burning Man? And usually the question revolves around some type of criticism that I will bring, some unique criticism I'll bring to the community. And I mean, first of all, it's a non-Christian community, so they will non-Christians will do what non-Christians do.
Sure.
There's nothing that surprises me then, you know? But in terms of growth, because there's been personal growth by attending these kinds of events. And one of them is it forced me to start to wrestle through art and the purpose of human expression.
Yeah.
And I'm still wrestling with it. And even if nothing else ever happens with Burning Man that way for myself, and there's been lots more that's happened. I mean, my goodness, we're there to share the gospel and to do research and to do a bunch of other things. And yet at the same time, I walk away from there going, all right, okay, one personal, not private anymore because I'm just expressing it to you, but one personal takeaway is it has forced me to rethink art and to actually look at it and go, because I used to do art. I'm actually very creative. I love drawing and my goodness, I used to draw a lot of stuff and I put all that away and now I'm kind of going, all right, what kind of art can I do?
Yeah.
How can I get back into creativity?
Yeah, absolutely.
And even what can I bring to the playa? And I've got an art piece that I submitted in 2018. It was a conception. It didn't get accepted, but I understand it was like, kind of like, runner-up kind of stuff. So I'm thinking I might just try it again, maybe
do
in a
it.
Year or two.
Yeah. Well, think about it, right? Because at the end of the day, the Lord's given us talents, right? To some, he gave one. To others, he gave three. To some, he gave five. Just varying talents to varying people. And you know what? We're to use those talents, not bury them, because at some point in time, and I've said this before, and that's one of the reasons why I actually started doing these podcasts was because I know the Lord was tugging in my heart saying, hey, man, you got to open your mouth. You got to talk. There's a lot that you have to say, but you say it in a way that only Pablo could say, right? Because Carl talks the way Carl talks. Pat talks the way Pat talks. And we need that variety, right? The way that God created you, the way that God created me, there are different means and avenues that will get through to different people. So I'm all for using your talents. Just do it, because at some point in time, you're going to stand before God Almighty and the Lord is going to say, all right, Carl, all right, Pablo, what did you do with the talents that I gave you? Bingo. With this one, you know, I felt comfortable and so I did it. But with this other one, I was afraid that they might not like it. And so wrong answer, you know what I mean? So I totally agree with you. Go ahead. No, just jump in.
No, I was just going to say, so I'll tell you what my crazy art idea was. And this was for Burning Man 2018. So 2018, the theme for Burning Man was iRobot. Asking that big question, can man and machine integrate? There was a lot of discussion around transhumanist themes. So much of the artwork was built around those concepts. And so an appeal came out to the community saying, hey, artists, if you would like to submit a robotic design, a sculpture, or an installation of some kind, we're looking for 12 robots to circle the man and face the man.
Yeah.
And the man was on this great big huge pedestal that was designed like a gear if you took a look at it from the top down. So I submitted a piece. My piece and it wasn't accepted, but I understood it. It ended up being kind of like a runner up kind of idea. So my it's crazy.
I'm laughing because artists, you're an artist. I'm an artist. Sometimes we have a tendency of taking things personally. Were you depressed for a week?
Oh, I know exactly. And I was on pins and needles because I was like, this thing's got to get accepted. So the imagery, if you could imagine this, it was based around, it was about 6 feet tall. It would have a caterpillar or crawler track system, like a tank.
Very cool.
And then from the base, it would be a human spinal column arising up with ribs demonstrating its human origin, an android round-shaped skull with a single silicone tear coming down its face. And it was entitled Loss of Soul because it would be reading a book with one line going across it going, what does a prophet of the man to gain the world and lose his soul?
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, because the questions that arise at a place like Burning Man, where all of a sudden that theme is there, opens up that venue for conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. It totally does. And I think we've come to a point within Christianity where we've created this subculture separate from the world. Obviously, we are in the world. We're not of the world. The Lord's called us out of the world. Totally get that. But we are to use our talents and we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because we have the hope of Christ within us. But what does it profit the world if here we've created this subculture and we live over here and the rest of the world goes over there and every now and then we just kind of throw a few crumbs over there and in hopes that, you know, we could kind of fish them. That's kind of what we've defined, fishers of men. Well, let's just put on and bring them into our camp. But the Lord didn't say that, right? The Lord said in Matthew, he said, go ye therefore into what? All the world and make disciples of all men, right? So wherever it is we're at, whether it's in the workplace, whether it is at Burning Man, and you go there such as yourself, wherever it is, we are called to be a light and to use those talents as a means to draw thirst from others so that they could go, hey, Carl, man, that dude that we see here every year, what is it that he has that I don't have, right? And then that hopefully will start a conversation. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just some thoughts, right? Just some thoughts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm here right now at Miller College of the Bible doing a modular course. And that's the backdrop. I'm actually in the president's office. And they were really kind to allow me to use this space. And I had to remind my students, I teach a course on secular pagan trends. And I had to remind my students today, look, wherever your feet are, that is where your ministry is.
That's right. I love that. You know, say that again. Say that again.
Wherever your feet are, that is where your ministry is. And so in the classroom, we're ministering to one another. When we're interacting around the common supper tables, we're interacting. We are ministering to one another. When you're walking down the street, you are engaging in some form of ministry. Whether you recognize it or not, we're supposed to live our life in such a way that we are the ambassadors, literally the representatives, the legal and official representatives of Jesus Christ. That's
right.
What an ambassador is. And
that's
so
right.
it's not that we're becoming that, we are that. So the question is, are we now recognizing it and willing to live it?
Amen. I totally agree. Now that you said ambassadors, listen, if you want to read an article, I've been so busy, I don't get a chance to sit down. It's not super long. If you go to the website, go up there to the blogcasts tab at the very top. This article right here, Ambassadors, and again, that's a piece of art I did. I digitally illustrated that. This was an old image of Billy Graham, and I appreciate what Billy Graham brought to the table. I know there's a lot of people that think he should have retired early on. Well, you know what? It is what it is. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he did a lot of great and amazing work in evangelism for the Lord. And so I thought, you know, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. I'm a minimalist when it comes to artwork. I think if you could convey a message with the least amount of colors, I'm not down on using all that, but this is just me. This is the kind of artwork I like. And just really quick, I've always been into I know I'm going to get so many emails for saying this, but I got to say this. I've always appreciated and admired the constructivist era during the Russian propaganda. The guys were superb artists, and the Russians were masters of propaganda art. And the way that they used their art and the colors and the themes to invoke their propaganda, right, to get their ideology out, they were really good at it. Say what you may. So I've always appreciated that. And so you'll see a lot of my artwork that has that kind of color theme. It's thematic around that. But go ahead and read this. I would encourage you guys, because that's exactly what this whole article is about. It's about being an ambassador for Christ. And that's really what we are, just like you just said, Carl. So listen, let's jump back into, I'm going to have to probably fast forward again, which is totally fine. So, right. Let me get on over to, I don't know where, I should have just left it there, but, so this, it got stuck here. It eventually, I would imagine, will probably just, it has a mind of its own. My videos do. And so, there we go. See, let's see where was. That's cool.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Back okay. Then. There you go. So here we are again. That big old swing.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Look at that.
And again, everything is very colorful. Everything is lit up. So that VW bus, by the way, is actually much larger than it appears. It's a pretty large structure. I've been around it. You do see lots of crazy things at Burning Man.
Okay, and I'd fall night, and break my neck if I did that.
Likewise. And at night, The place absolutely comes alive. Oh, that's Playa Alchemist.
Okay, let me go back there. Yeah, I will go back and right here.
Okay. Okay. There, pause it. So this is a 7-story pyramid.
Ooh.
Yes, and off to the side is another pyramid about 3 stories high, and that has a massive bank of projectors, a technical staff. There's a tremendous amount of computing power that goes into it, and then all night on the pyramid, the main pyramid, and Playa Alchemist, the whole idea behind the theme or the camp is to bring the power, the collective power of the pyramid to the playa and sacred geometry and mysticism and all that. And I mean, I've been in the camp a lot.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of workshops and things that transpire at that event, at that venue. And so all night long, the projection pyramid is casting this incredible, continual display of colors and video against the 7-story backdrop. And you're walking by it or bicycling by it anytime at night, and it's like this thing is pulsing with an incredible display of shapes and patterns and lights and movement. It could be a forest, or it could be a man emerging out of an egg and then ascending up into the sky, or it could be just like flashing. And you see it. You see it from a long ways away.
Yeah.
And then the inside of it, in the video, you're actually walking into it. You've got these hanging lanterns. Yep, right there. And then just past that, you've got a massive quartz crystal. And that sits in the center of this space. At midnight, there's a number of times I've seen this. They'll do some type of a ritual. And I've got some video from one of the rituals from 2017. Yeah. And then it's a dance party all night long. And then during the day, they're doing workshops, and they're bringing in guys like neuroscientists and social engineers and computer designers and programmers, cryptocurrency experts, and they're all there working through kind of the cutting edge of where they're at.
Man, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, so I'm looking at this, you know, you and I, there's a lot of visual people. I'm a visual learner. I like the arts. I love it. As you said in the beginning, folks, you got to look at this from the perspective. I have this, should I even say this, righteous jealousy, because, it's kind of humorous. But again, it goes back to the fact that, say what you may, these people are doing something right. They believe that, okay, they don't have Christ. They're doing what they know what to do, right? They're spiritually dead, but they're doing what they're doing. Say whatever you may, they are influenced by the demonic. You know, they've got spirits that oppose Christ influencing them, But at the end of the day, they are pushing what they believe in to the max. They are redlining their beliefs. And you know what? I have to say the world puts the Christians to shame. I'm going to say that. It would make people upset. Go ahead, jump on in and say what you...
But you're right. And there is a pursuit of excellence with it. Yep. And this is something my wife and I have had these conversations. Why is it that we seem to settle with mediocrity within the church? And we do, for whatever reason. And there's almost like there's a safety in it, I think.
Yeah.
There's a safety in it. We don't have to worry then maybe about offending or maybe pushing even our own intellectual understanding of certain things. And we have to remember that within Christianity, it is really something that starts at the mind and then works in the heart. It's a transformation of the mind. And I think we've lost something when we, as the Christian community, have, well, when we've removed, let's say, even the importance of art. So all of a sudden we've lost that deep intellectual practical expression of what that looks like. And then when somebody goes in the secular world and does it like miles better in terms of production, attention to detail, even the wrestling of the idea that's being placed in the creative whatever that modality may be, whether it's a sculpture, whether it's a film or whatever, we sit back and we're going, well, how come they keep doing it better? We've been saying that about the Christian music industry for like decades. We're always saying this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And within the Christian film industry. And there are awesome, awesome Christian artists out there. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time, there's almost an inwards cultural sense of there's, I don't know how to say it, Pablo. I don't
know. Say
an accepted cheesy, an accepted cheesiness.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I've always said that we use our Christianity as an excuse for mediocrity. I hate that. I hate the fact that we do. And listen, I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers when I say this. Okay. Say what you may. Don't send me hate mail because I'll just delete it. And I mean what I'm going to say. So, what you have here is these. Whether they are socialists, whether they are, unfortunately, whether they're part of the LGBTQ family, whatever they are doing it because they believe that they are right. And because that they believe they are right, they are taking that to the max and they're doing whatever they can to promote that ideology. Even though it's wrong, okay, hear me out. Even though it is wrong and it is opposed to biblical morality and standards, these people are taking what they believe to be right and they are redlining it. And we have fallen behind. Now, you have these people that have a lot of money, billionaires who also believe in the same thing. I know they go to Burning Man and you know what they do? They take their money and they invest in these people so that they could also promote their ideology, right? Financially. Where is that? Where is that in the Christian arena? God has gifted men and women of business and they've become multimillionaires, some multibillionaires. I don't see that happening within the church either.
Right. And then for me to bring it home, and I have to, because what you're just leveling is applicable not just to the larger perspective, but even for myself. Like, I mean, I'll be honest. Okay, so I run off to Burning Man, I do this stuff. And you know my work. Burning Man is just one component.
Yep.
But then in my own personal life, when there is some downtime, or even if there's not downtime, how many times have I turned and done something at a mediocre level, or literally had an opportunity in front of my face and knew it was an opportunity, and turned away and did something else?
Yeah, I agree. I'm guilty of that. I'm preaching the choir here too.
I know.
I totally am.
And so I think this is something that, I mean, I'm going to live my whole life with some, and my daughter actually really helped me to figure some of this out. Just even a week ago, I had an opportunity at a Walmart store. A lady came up to me and she was an immigrant woman and she wanted to buy four sets of winter jackets for her kids. And I was trying to flesh out, are you are you trying to scam me? Like, I don't know.
Yep. Yep.
We live in now a world of constant scamming.
Yep.
And so I waffled and I wasn't sure what to do. And by the time it was all said and done, she, you know, walks away saying, God bless. I walk the other direction going, man, I don't know what to do. I get in my car. I drive down the road, maybe a mile or two. I turn around and I go back and go looking for her. And by that time it's too late. And I'm like,
Yeah. You blew it.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. And you know what? You know why I tell you that, Carl? Because you made me feel good. You made me feel good only in the sense that, whew, I'm actually not the only one, right? Praise God that we're, no. And you know what? Listen, yeah. I totally get what you're saying. We took our son, Rail Fanny. He loves looking at trains. He loves putting videos together of his trains. He loves the engineering. Great. We encourage that, right? So we go to a lot of different train stations. We went to one not too far from our house. And at train stations, you're always going to have homeless people, right? So we're sitting there. We're hanging out with one of my son's friends, and his dad's there, too. And here we are talking about, you know, politics and, you know, the Bible. And, you know, we're pontificating here. Wow, what do these people think they are, you know? And this Latino man, who you could tell has seen better days, he approaches us. And he's saying, you know, do this is how we talk. Do these trains, do the Metrolinx, is he going to go to, do you know if he's going to Los Angeles? And I'm sitting there, and the only thing I could think of, and I'm ashamed of this, but I'm letting you guys know, I'm being real too, just like you were, Carl. The only thing I could think of in the back of my mind was, wow, the smell of urine is just so bad. Like the guy was, he had just socks, no shoes. And you could tell he's seen better days. He probably had been drinking because his eyes were bloodshot. And that's all I was thinking. Instead of me thinking, well, this would be a good opportunity to give him a gospel card and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking to myself, whew, man, I got to step back here for a minute. Yeah. And so when he walked away, you know, I turned back around, and it's that nagging, not nagging, but it's the Holy Spirit going, what'd you do, man? You just totally blew it. I brought him right in front of you for you to share the gospel, and you shied away from it. You totally shied away from it. And it was the same thing after about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, you know, because as humans, Carl, can we not come up with a million one excuses to try and excuse our sorry behavior? Ridiculous.
And you know, my daughter, because this happened in the city that she's living in, and I was visiting her for a couple of days as I was doing some traveling, and she's like, Dad, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
She's like, you're human.
Yeah.
This is a human experience.
Yep.
And hopefully God will put somebody else in
her
path.
That's right.
You know, and I'm like, well, thank
you. And he'll do it again for you at some point, right?
Repeat it. Absolutely.
You'll bring someone else. And you know, the next time they're going to want 10 coats, not four. So you're all right. All right. So you're going to have to cough it up. You know, and listen, same thing. I looked for the guy and the guy was gone. So what are you going to do? Yep. Missed opportunities. You know what? Praise God for his grace and his mercy, because he's going to go, you know what? Even though you blew it, let's try that again. And the Lord will put another opportunity. And so, listen,
he works with broken vessels.
He does. And I'm one of them. I'm a totally broken vessel. Aren't we all broken vessels, right?
Absolutely.
I don't want to, and that's one of the reasons why you and I are sitting down and we're talking about Burning Man, because at the end of the day, the way we should be looking at these people is they're lost. And if the Lord were to come back right now, most of them will stay behind to experience hell on earth. And I think, or if let's say something happens to them on their way back home and they don't know Jesus Christ, they're going to a place called hell of eternal torment and suffering. And so that, again, that should be our impetus to be out in the world, sharing Jesus Christ with those around us. And that's what you're doing. So, you know, at this rate, we're going to do like a 10-part show, man.
Okay. That's cool with me,
Babel. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and jump. We're going to jump back on the video if it ever decides to come. So now what you guys are staring at is a nice blank screen. So I guess this just has kind of a mind of its own. I don't know what in the world happened here. But
hey, it's the playa without Burning Man. at night.
Yeah, there you go. So,
that's a Thunderdome. That's a Thunderdome. Where you saw the images of the people hanging in on bungees and beating each other with bats.
Yep.
They're rubber bats, and you strap yourself in, and they pull you apart, and then they smash you together with these bungee cords, and you beat the snot out of each other. And I've watched, it's just crazy. You know, I was there for the opening of the Thunderdome in 2019, and they brought in a world-class opera singer. They had flown her in, I believe, from Bogota the night before.
Okay.
And there she is doing that song. Oh, I can't remember the name of it now. Shoot, it escapes me. But it was from the movie with Bruce Willis, Fifth Element. You know that song? It was, I'm not going to do it. Anyways, she nails it.
I'll give you an A for effort on that one.
and I'm like, just wow. You flew somebody in from Bogota. If I remember the story right, she was performing for government dignitaries in Bogota the night before, and then they flew her in. But whatever. Wow. But I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like this is the level of involvement.
Yeah, this is,
and then of course you see lots of fire spinners, lots of fire.
Yep.
Always.
Yeah,
fire.
And they have to. Okay, so according to what I was reading, they have certain rules and regulations that if you're a performer, you have to abide by certain rules. You got to be okay. Essentially, what they don't want to see is they don't want to see you burn yourself, right? A live Burning Man. They don't want that. They want an effigy. Right. So,
right. And you just made an interesting point: rules and regulations. Everybody thinks of Burning Man as being lawless. You know, that's what it was in the earlier days, no question, up to about 97 when they had lots of things that happened that historically it was really, really nasty. And then they put a bunch more rules in place, put order into the chaos. Interesting. Yeah. And then, right. And now they have the 10 principles. And now, oh my word, Pablo. I'm a farm boy. We kind of do things a little bit rough and tumble. And I'm like, I am so tired of all the rules and regulations I see at Burning Man. It's like, oh, this is now the bureaucratic Burning Man. Wherever you go, it's like, be safe. Or they all say safety third, and then they're all like, you know, making a big perimeter to make sure that nobody is being burned from something burning 300 feet away from you or 500 feet away from you. I'm like, oh, whatever.
I mean, look at that. That's pretty amazing. I got to tell you.
That was a cool tree.
Yeah. And then the octopus.
Yes.
What does it say? El polpo. Let me see. I got to go see that again. What does it say right there on the... Right there. El pulpo magnifico. Oh, the magnificent octopus.
Yep.
That's what they call it.
And it's pretty amazing.
I love it.
It looks big. I mean...
It is big. It really is big.
Everything... Okay, this right here.
Okay.
Yeah. That right there. Okay. And I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and just kind of let this play. Cause we have that one, I got to admire each one of those panels is so intricate. I got to tell you, I admire that. That is impressive.
So I was at a workshop with the temple lead, the lady who designed the temple and who construct what was the chief involved in constructing this temple. This has to be probably the most intricate temple that I have seen, both in regional burns, because I have been to a few regionals, or the main burn. It costs roughly $500,000 US in materials to build a temple.
Wow.
That does not include the donated materials. That does not include donated transportation. That does not include, I think she said, 800 volunteers and 100 construction workers putting this massive edifice together. 900 panels to just build the roof line itself.
That's crazy.
I remember this, $15,000 just in bottled water to supply the people building this thing. And it's all being built. I mean, a lot of it is prefab, of course, but then they only build it once when they bring it to the playa and they hope it works. And then they assemble it all there. And she was talking about some of the construction challenges because you're designing this, you're building it, you're prefabbing it to some extent, but you don't know how it's going to all come together. And all of a sudden you're faced with challenges. Three quarters of the way through the build, and you're going, oh, this isn't now, you know, this fits in theory on paper, but we can't get a worker in there because the spaces are too tight now
for
him to actually bolt down or fasten down certain trusses. And I'm like, my goodness, there's a lot of thought that goes into this thing.
Yeah. And you know what? You just mentioned something that goes back. It ties, again, hand in hand with what I mentioned earlier on. The fact that you have somebody that designed this, not just, it doesn't stop there, but you have people that are willing to donate their money and their time and their resources to invest in this, so much so to bring it to life. That is what I guess I keep harping on, is the fact that I rarely see that within the body of Christ. And if there's anybody, if there's anyone who should be doing this above and beyond what the world is doing, it is the church. And actually, we're light years behind what the world is doing. I hate saying it, but it's a sad reality. It really is.
So allow me, Pablo, to tell. Okay, great, perfect. Stop for there. Allow me to tell your audience what the temple is.
Sure, please. It is by all means.
So when the temple is constructed, it is a blank slate. There's nothing on the walls. You see this right here saying "Love your burn." That's an item that's likely, from what I can see here, likely a piece that's been scribed onto the wall of the temple. So the temple is a blank slate. All the wood is fresh and clear. And then as the week progresses, people are leaving notes on the wall. They're writing out life stories. They're bringing the ashes of their loved ones that they'll deposit in the temple. They'll be hanging wedding dresses. I have a picture of a wedding dress with the word fraud written across it.
Wow.
I've got a picture of me holding, and I've got the name of the individual covered up with my thumb, but it's a suicide note. And as you're reading it, it's the note from the person who committed the act, essentially saying to his friends, if I'm successful, make sure my note is at the burn and in the temple.
Wow.
And so it's just loaded. By the end of the week, it is completely loaded. The walls are heavy with the items that have been brought in, pictures, whole panels full of pictures, artwork, altars. All of this is all being constructed now on site by those who are participating. And in many respects, it's a 24-hour funeral that lasts for the entirety of the event.
Wow. That is crazy. I mean, I'm looking at this right here, and there's a message behind that just right there. And I can't imagine seeing the first thing I thought of as you're describing what this looks like towards the end is it is a place full of burdens, right?
Completely. That, it's heavy.
It's heavy with burdens. And here's the sad part is the fact that to most, this is what I would consider symbolic of burning their burdens or whatever it is, their biases, you name it, fill in the blank. And they think that this is what is the answer maybe. And isn't that crazy? Again, it goes back to we as believers in Christ, we have the answer, right? Didn't the Lord say, cast your burdens on me, right? Because his yoke is easy. I mean, the Lord tells us, let me grab here's my Bible here. And I want to go to, you know what? It's quicker if I just look up 1 Peter. Let me go over here and look up 1 Peter. Give me a second. All right. Bible Gateway. I like the Bible Gateway, folks. If you guys haven't used it, I'm sure a lot of you do. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. You hear me click away here. Chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Yes.
And you know what? This is the message that a lot of these people are looking for. But, and Carl, I'd love to maybe get your take because I had this question just pop up in my mind. Do a lot of these people, I wonder if they don't go to a church or talk to other believers because they believe that they're just Christians or just a bunch of hypocrites, right?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that come out of a Christian background. So this year I did social surveys. I was hoping to hit 500, but I only managed to hit, I think, 315 for when I was initially kind of at the end of the week counting things up. I thought maybe I'd be close to 400, around 400, but they're not. 315 surveys. Still not
That's not bad.
Nope. You know, And one of those, the indicators on the survey is your past religion and your present religion. And a lot of them are past Christian.
Wow. Now, how sad agnostic, is that, man?
Now atheist, now Buddhist, now Taoist. You know, the list goes on and on. There's some interesting things here, Pablo, regarding the burdens that are carried.
Sure.
There's enough people at this. Okay, so let me just backtrack a little bit. The man, the effigy, is the center of the city, and that's what the event is known for. But in many respects, the temple has more significance, more importance than even the man, because this is the place where people are pouring their hearts out. The man Sure. becomes the party. The temple becomes where it gets real and gets really, really, you know, real, really real very fast.
Sure.
So at the temple, you have temple guardians, people who are trained, and they're volunteers as well. And they are alert, watching to make sure that people aren't breaking down, because there are people who completely lose it all right there.
Mm, wow.
And so there's a rawness, like a serious rawness that takes place. In 2018, one of our the people in our camp happened to be at the temple, and God was prompting him, go and talk to this girl that's sitting by herself crying.
Yeah.
And so he did. And he's like, I'm here to be with you. And so they had this little conversation, and she's like, it turns out she was a Christian struggling with her faith, not sure why she was at Burning Man. But while she's there, she's saying to God, basically, please, can you show yourself?
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, Justin comes along and he's like, God told me to come and talk to you. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have no idea what you're going to encounter. It's are we willing to be vulnerable? Are we willing to walk up to somebody, literally that stranger, and have that conversation, see what's wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what?
I suck at that. you know, let me do it from a distance.
I do too. But you know what? The praise God that he still uses broken vessels like us, right?
No kidding.
And
I am so
thankful. I don't identify as much. I don't really identify with Paul, because Paul just seemed to have it all together. Even though we know that he had his struggles, we read it in Romans. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm more like Peter, you know, open mouth, insert foot, all the time, and so I'm more like him. But again, as I'm looking at this picture, and this is a bird's eye view, you could kind of see here. I would imagine that's the tip of the wing of the plane or whatever it is.
Probably
I don't
know. It'll be a part of the aircraft. Yeah.
And so you could see very, very little. At the center of this is what I would imagine is the effigy, right? Like you said, that's
correct.
The centerpiece of this. But look at how many people there are here. And isn't it crazy? Some people go, well, why in the world would a Christian be there? Listen, look at it the other way. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God that will meet you at a place you least likely would imagine, but God is
Absolutely.
There to meet you at your darkest moments? Praise God for that, right?
Absolutely. So stay on the picture for a bit. Let me explain a few things. Number one, this isn't full. This is probably during build week, because the city isn't full yet. If you notice on the edge, the perimeter, along the edge, you have a line of, I wish I could put my finger right on it and just kind of point, the closest to the bottom of the screen, you see rows of vehicles or rows of could even be structures. So, and then from there, you have a space, and then you have the city starting to fill itself in. So this is already probably during build week. Give it 4 or 5 days, and all of that will be filled in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All of this.
So that's right. And so if you notice as well, the streets radiate towards the man. And it's intentionally designed so that anytime you go into one of the main streets that heads into the playa, you always see the man first. So when the man burns on Saturday night, which is why it's called Burning Man. When the man burns on Saturday night, you lose your reference place and it discombobulates you. And you're like, all right, how do I now orient myself to find my street again. And by Sunday night, when the temple burns, now you're really without major landmarks, because other big items, other big art pieces will have been burned over the course of those last few days too. And then people have a habit, and I get it. They steal the street signs. And so all of a sudden, and this really threw me off the first year I was there, it was like, Sunday night, I can't find my way back to my camp because the city's already becoming, you know, it's dismantling as well. And so landmarks are disappearing. It's dark. And I all of a sudden, I find myself bicycling like half a mile out of the way in the wrong direction because Carl's an idiot. And then he's got to turn around and try to, you know, figure your way back. But this gives you a sense, even though the city isn't full in this picture, it does give you a sense of how large it is. There you go.
Yeah,
now
so,
it's
okay.
Filled in.
Let me go ahead and sorry, folks, for that little glitch there. But let me go ahead and see if Carl, I'm going to try and put us in here. There we are. Okay, so this right here, what I have, you were talking. Let me go ahead and point people right there.
There's
that
the
right
man.
There. There's the man. Obviously, you can't see it. Really, really tiny. But you were saying each one of these rows points to the center.
To the man.
To the man.
Yep.
Everything points to the center of the man. The way that these are created right here. Right?
Right. So from the man, now, yeah, that's right. Exactly right. They're designed that way. The city is designed so that your focus is on the man. Which is really remarkable from a lot of different perspectives. But then from the man, if you draw a line laterally through the heart of that open area out towards the desert, then you hit in a straight. That's right. Yep. Keep going. Right there. Stop.
Okay.
Halfway down, you see that larger structure.
Yeah.
And that is the temple. That's the temple. And it's in line with the man. And it. And then if you go back the other direction, you hit a smaller circle, and you can see it on the edge
right
of the
here,
city on the
right
inside.
Here.
That's right. That's Center Camp, and that is like the community hub for the Burning Man, for Black Rock City. And this is all called Black Rock City.
Okay, and then the
because
temple
it's,
you were referring
in the Black
to
Rock
is
desert.
It's right
that's
there.
Right.
It is just directly over here. So
yeah, and
that's
it's all
where it's
all
at.
In an alignment. All in
yeah,
an alignment.
And it's crazy. I got to tell you, when I look at this, the first thing I think of is one of these things, and you'll probably know what this is, right? Little landing pods, right? Like that little space alien. That's exactly what I think of.
It's funny you drew that in there because I've got one of my older books on kind of written in, along the line of burn culture, and it's a book on a personal journey, somebody's personal journey through psychedelics as a Gnostic. And he's at Burning Man and describing it as the first extraterrestrial city.
For sure.
Which
I mean, it looks like a crop, what are they called?
A crop circle.
Crop circle. Thank you. That's exactly what it looks like. No joke.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's why I wanted to bring this up too, because at the same time, this is... It's very organized. I mean, this is grid. You know, you got lines going this way, and then you got lines that are cutting across this way, and you have these perfect little segments in each one, like they're grids. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Each one of these are grids.
And each one of those has its own little sense of community. In there, you will have villages with a number of camps dedicated to a certain theme. You'll have sections cordoned off. If you go just past Center Camp, you're going to end up at Kidsville, which is a full big grid for families with younger children who want to camp together. Mm-hmm. And so every place you go in the city, you'll find that there's different cultures and different art pieces. It's because it's voluntary. Everything is being built on a voluntary scale.
Yep.
It's not uniform. There's a lot of expression all throughout the city.
Yeah.
On the very far end, and you can't really see it in the picture, but on the far end is the airport, and it is it's a temporary FAA approved airport with its own tower, its own little radar installation, and there are hundreds of flights coming in and out. Everything from small ultralights to right up to corporate jets are flying in, and a lot of helicopters. And by the way, speaking of helicopters, every year I've been there, I'm watching as military Chinook helicopters either circle the place or grid it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, why is a Chinook circling us like doing 5 or 6 circuits around our city. These suckers are running at $8,000, $9,000, maybe $10,000 an hour. Like, what's the military doing out here? These are military helicopters. And I talked to a longtime burner and asked, why do we always see a military presence? Either F-18s are flying over us, or there's Chinooks flying around us, or there's some other military component. And he's like, from what he could gather, and I need to start doing some freedom of information requests on this, he was explaining that, look, the military uses our burn event as training ground of sorts for what to do with a rogue nomadic desert culture.
Wow.
And this, oh my goodness, Pablo, the intelligence community is there.
No way, at Burning Man.
Oh, 100%. And the military is there. So let me tell you a crazy story of that.
Yeah.
2004, I believe it is. When did Hurricane Katrina hit? Was that 04?
Oh, man, you got me. Probably 04. Katrina was during the Bush administration still.
That's right.
So it had to be 04. Yeah.
Yep. So during 04, when Hurricane Katrina hit, there was a camp called Playagon, a mixture of Pentagon and Playa. So Camp Playagon was in Burning Man.
Yeah.
They had heard about this hurricane hitting the Gulf Coast from Burning Man. First of all, I have to ask, what kind of technology did they have at the burn, and what kind of people they were at the burn? But from Camp Playagon, they commandeered an intelligence satellite. Get that. They commandeered an intelligence satellite so they could watch Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast in real time.
How did they do that?
I know, that's my question. And then apparently, from what I understand, the real Pentagon, like Washington, D.C., went nuts going, we lost control of an intelligence satellite. We've lost control of this. Where did it go? It's off-grid. And no, it wasn't off-grid. It was being used by
this camp.
Being borrowed at Burning Man. I believe those are the years that Colin Powell was attending the burn. So, yeah.
Wow, you're kidding me. So, see, folks,
This is
all walks of life.
this is the level of people. So, hey, 2019, I got to the burn early. I helped an individual put an art piece together. Right at Center Camp. So I got there early and I ended up having all kinds of different interactions because it's a totally different vibe during the week. And I ended up having this crazy conversation with a lady who turns out to be the European Union liaison officer to the U.S. federal government, specifically to the Food and Drug Administration. And I'm like, seriously? That's what you are?
Yeah.
That's what you do? This is insane.
Well, that's crazy because seriously, folks, when we look at, I mean, let me get back over here really quick. That is a lot of people. How many would you say typically on average go to the Burning Man? Just average.
This will be probably in the neighborhood of 75,000 because that's roughly
insane.
what it has been. They cap off, and it's because of permits. Because this is on federal land, so you have to get a federal permit. I believe they cap it off at 70,000 attendees and roughly 10,000 volunteers. So there'll be probably 80,000 that you're seeing there.
That's
or close
insane.
To 80.
That's it. Okay, so is there a reason, and I'm just curious, right? Is there a reason that they close it off right here and they don't go all the way around?
Yeah, there is. Part of it is because beyond that point, what you just drew, beyond that point is called the Deep Playa. And there's more art pieces, like out. So it's a 9-mile perimeter. And then more than that, the edges that you just drew, that's where a lot of the large sound camps are located. So so you don't have to all of a sudden face all of the large sound camps towards the city. You want the sound to drift out into the nomad area.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you've got like untold decibels blasting EDM at you all night long. which you're getting anyways.
Exactly. You know, I was just thinking as we were looking, I'll tell you what, we'll just kind of finish this video out. And then I would love for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because that's really the most important thing. We'll come back for part 2 And well, I mean, seriously, there's so much here. And there's a question that I want to pose to you that I read in an article. It's an old article from 2012, but it was just contrasting. Maybe I should go to the two of us here. It was just contrast. This is actually it was 2020. Christians are increasingly wandering the desert of Burning Man, and get this, in search of truth. That to me is such an oxymoron of a statement, a Christian in search of truth, right? And that's what I want to start off with on the second segment. But let's go ahead and finish out. I want to say this is where we were at. So we'll finish this out right here. And I mean, again, the artwork is impressive, what they do. And man, I don't understand why this has a tendency of freezing up on us, but it kind of has a mind of its own. I'm going to rewind it here and let's see if it ever decides just to come back. And you know what the crazy thing is? It stops at the weirdest places, a pink lady. I'm telling
almost any place you stop it on a video like this will be weird.
Will be weird, yeah, exactly. So sorry for the hiccup, folks, but here we go, pink lady there. And they're all just, you know, they all... Okay, a lot of drinking. I did see that in the video.
Yep, and it's all free. All the bars are free.
Yeah, that's just... And who is supplying... Sorry about that, folks, just, you know... Who is supplying all of this stuff, right?
The camps that build it bring in. If it's a bar camp, they'll bring in their own booze. There's the Chapel of Babel.
Yeah,
with the all-seeing eye over the entrance.
We will cover this in the second segment. So that's pretty much the end of this little video that I put together. This montage. I didn't put together. I just found it and I kind of trimmed it down, but it gives everybody a bird's eye view of what Burning Man is. Carl, listen, we didn't get to it. We talked about a lot, but we didn't talk about a lot. If that makes any sense, brother.
Absolutely. You're right. You know, we could do 10 shows on this. That's a crazy part.
We could do a ton of shows. And listen, we're going to come back and I definitely want to cover the things that we didn't get to cover. So listen, Carl, the most important thing of all this, I hope that people understood, there are still folks looking for truth, and truth can only be found in one place, who is the ultimate truth. And so, Carl, I want to turn the reins over to you, and I want you to share the gospel. I want you to talk to people who might not know the Lord or who are like that girl in the temple crying, searching for truth. Why don't you speak to them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you made an interesting comment there. What is truth? When Jesus was standing before Pilate, Pilate asked the question. They had this conversation about the truth and the fact that Jesus is a king. And Pilate asks the question, what is truth? Pilate was like this close.
Yep.
But he got it wrong.
That's right.
Because the question wasn't what is true. The question is who is true.
That's right.
And it is Jesus Christ, who is in the book of Colossians described by Paul as preeminent, the firstborn above all things. He has the supremacy. He is the creator. In other words, he is the author of life. And as we as humanity have turned our back against God, literally the author of life, death enters the picture. That's actually a logical conclusion. If you turn away from the author of life, you will die. And that's actually the Genesis 3 sin problem. When humanity said, no, we want to be as God, we will transgress God's laws, we will transgress what he has said in this promise that we will be transformed, because that's what you see happening in Genesis chapter 3. And so death is the result. And we have this curse put on us. And actually, it's a logical curse because we've turned away from God, the author of life, Jesus Christ himself. And the gospel message is really a reversal of this. Now, instead of the disbelief that occurred in Genesis 3, instead of the breaking of trust, now we believe. Now we go, Lord, God, Jesus, you are the author of life. And I have to trust you. I have to believe you. And I have to trust you because you are the one and you are the only one who can defeat this problem of sin in my life. And the sin begins with the fact that at the heart level, we all turn away from God. every one of us.
That's right.
And even though we may end up looking again later in life, trying to find, you know, we're on a journey for some form of spirituality, really, we should be on the journey for truth. And that should end up, like Pilate, having that encounter with Jesus Christ. And then instead of saying, what is truth? We go, Lord, you are true. And I trust in you.
Amen. Amen. So listen, folks, some of you might be wondering, well, where do we go from here, right? Jesus Christ is truth. He said that, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How do we get to God, right? There is no other way, as Jesus said. There is no other way to God but by me, through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice on the cross. Right. You might be like that girl in the temple, crying out to the Lord, Lord, show me. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord will do that via a message like this. And the Lord is trying to meet you where you're at. You might have just stumbled upon this podcast. You know Carl's name. You have no clue who I am, and that's totally fine, because if you got to the end of this and you're wondering, where do I go from here? It's really simple. I love the fact that there's no special chant. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. Nothing. Jesus Christ did it all at the cross when he spread his arms open and he died for you and for me. And as you just said, Carl, it's a reversal of that curse of sin, right? It is a reversal of eternal damnation. But we have to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So, Carl, if you wouldn't mind leading us in a prayer, anybody that might want to call on the name of the Lord, by all means, please. So if you wouldn't mind, folks, let's bow our heads. Let's close in prayer.
Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you are trustworthy, that you are a God of truth, and that you indeed are truth. And Lord, as a thief on the cross was hanging beside you and called out for you, to you, and you promised that you would bring him into paradise, Lord, we also call out to you. We say, save us, save me, because we can't save ourselves. I can't do it. Yeah. I can't do enough good works. I can't do enough spiritual things. That's impossible. I'll live my whole life chasing that. It's not Jesus plus, 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 plus. It's just you, Lord. And allow us, Lord, to see that and then to embrace that and to accept that and to follow you. And Lord, we just ask that you would move our hearts toward that end so that we would live and put our feet back on the path of life. And you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer, if you surrendered to Jesus Christ, let Carl know, let me know. I've got the websites there. Shoot us an email. But the most important thing is to get a Bible and get into the Word of God, because this is where you're going to find the ultimate truth, right here.
Yep.
Cover to cover. Right in here. You want to know? Get into the Word of God and let the Word of God permeate and get into you. So, Carl, this was great, my brother. I'm looking forward to part two because we have a whole lot more to talk about. Listen, folks, until the next time, I really do hope that you guys were blessed, encouraged, challenged, because listen, we did. We said some things that challenge our faith. They challenge these nuances that we've somehow created for ourselves. But essentially, again, our responsibility as believers is to go into the world and make disciples of all men. Go ye into the world and make disciples of all men, as Jesus Christ told us. He commanded us, and it was almost like a scolding command. It's like, dude, seriously, you guys don't know this already? Get on to it. So get to it, folks. Share Jesus. Carl, until the next time, may the Lord richly bless you, brother. We'll be seeing everybody. Hasta.